Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
And I'm Catherine Pearson. I'm the Discerning Childbirth Educator and Wellness Coach here at Dunamos Center Ministries.
Catherine, at Dunamos Center Ministries, it is our mission to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other.
That's right.
Yes, and today we're going to do a show on childbirth assistants or doulas. But, you know, sometimes we have a little bit of a different perspective, I think, than some people on it. But I'd like you to first share with our audience kind of the foundational scripture that we use for the discerning childbirth piece here at Dunamos Center Ministries.
Absolutely. Yes, so it's Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures.
And I find babies, every single one, to be so special and unique that they're a rare and beautiful treasure.
Yes.
And so we want, you know, we want people to have healthy, strong, God-centered births where that child is honored for Christ.
Yeah, those children are rare and
beautiful.
Beautiful, yes. Looking back at rare and beautiful treasure.
Right, so in that regard, we want to do everything that we can to sort of fulfill what I would call a tribal way of dealing with birthing. You know, in the sense of Old Testament all the way up through New Testament, women in the culture helped the other women with having their babies.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And they,
it's been going on since, as far as we know, since Exodus. Probably
at
before
least,
that.
But
right.
I'm sure before that. I mean, obviously Eve didn't have that, but she had the Lord. But up through the rest of it, the other women in the tribe, in the organization, if you will, were there to support and encourage.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've lost some of our cultural support in the United States. We've seen that decline over the past 50 years very significantly.
Yeah, definitely.
And we've developed a way of trying to answer that culturally.
Mm-hmm.
And so back in 1980s, when I was doing this, and my babies were little, yes, my kids are in their 30s, two of them as of the end of May. But the point is that we did what we called childbirth assisting. We stepped in to help other moms who and dads who were having babies to have the best birth possible for them.
Yeah.
And then it kind of kept rolling forward, and now it's been professionalized even further.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost some things with that, and we've gained some things with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so today I want to talk a little bit about what a doula really does.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't really understand what they should be looking for, or is it just a faddy thing that people are doing, like it's the fad to hire a doula now and that sort of thing.
Right. I think the fad is to call it doula, isn't it?
Yes.
In the 1980s, had you heard that word?
Oh, no, no. I first heard the word doula used probably towards the end of the 1990s.
Okay.
And it was actually a Christian woman who called herself a doula.
Okay.
Based on the Greek word from Ephesians, where Paul calls himself a doulos for Jesus Christ.
Oh.
So she was a Christian woman who called herself a doula because she was a voluntary bond servant for Jesus Christ, and she was there to serve the families.
Yes.
So she put herself in a servant role.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've seen with the professionalization is a loss of the servant role to the degree that we had it in the 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
Right.
But at the same time, there's still some benefits to having a doula there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a benefit of insurance paying for it or hospitals paying for them, because that means they're now obligated to the insurance companies and to the hospitals more than they are the families.
So let me see if I understand. You're saying that some people are having their insurance pay for their doula services?
Yeah, they're pushing insurance to cover it.
Oh.
Now, as soon as you do that, they can start regulating your practice and what they'll pay. And then people will say, I can only come to you if my insurance will pay for you.
So that sounds similar to me, like OBGYNs, who are very run by insurance and
yes.
hospitals and
Right. And then you'll start having to carry your malpractice insurance at a different rate, your certifications and all of that.
You'll have to charge more.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Catherine, that's what's happened within the counseling industry as well.
Really?
Yes. If, you know, a lot of people now expect that they're only going to go to a counselor if their insurance pays for it.
Oh.
So people will expect to only get a doula if the insurance will pay for it or the hospital provides it or whatever. So they're on the same track that counselors started, you know, way back in the 60s and 70s. And now the fallout of that is I don't take insurance here.
Right.
And so that's...
As a counselor.
And we do it as a ministry. So we have very low fees as far as that goes. But... people will not come simply because we don't take insurance.
Yeah.
So doulas who are really good and who are only there for the family and who will only be reimbursed by the family are going to lose work. And the families are thinking they're getting something for that. And they're getting less.
Right.
So.
Right. They're getting much less care, much probably a lessening of personalization in their care.
Yep. And less just I'm there for you.
Yeah.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
So they will be there protecting their license, protecting their insurance, protecting their ability to go into the hospital. So that's kind of the downside.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I want to focus on today, too, is, you know, a while back I read a, you know, blog post. You know how they pop up.
Sure.
And I actually read two blog posts that were relatively contrasting. One of them wrote about how she thought about hiring a doula, but she didn't because doulas tell you what to do.
Really? That's an interesting perception.
Yes, and it's a misperception.
Yeah.
At least for the majority of the childbirth assistants and doulas out there.
We hope it's a misperception.
Well, you know, there may be some that are very strong and say you should do this or do that. But that is never really the role of a doula. It's always for the parents to decide.
Right.
And there is some contrast to that with some doulas.
Yeah, yeah. We would encourage you, listeners, to find a doula that will work with you and not just tell you,
right,
do this, do that.
Right.
But so I think maybe one point to make is that this was one person's perception.
Right.
Did they interview a whole bunch of doulas?
No. And unfortunately, they write articles and they're influencing other people's thinking when they didn't really even
do their own
due diligence on it.
Right.
Then I read another blog post, which was the complete opposite.
Okay.
And completely wrong as well. And it was about a doula who kept telling the mom not to go in after her water broke to get checked. And she had had a positive GBS test or group beta strep.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant that she was at higher risk for having the infection in the birth canal, which meant the baby was at higher risk of getting it during labor if the water's broken.
And if maybe we should explain just really quick what sort of impact that could have to the baby. It's pretty serious, really.
It can be serious. If the baby gets infected, it can affect their brain. It can go very quickly. Look at how small their bodies are, and things pass very quickly through their body. It can affect their lungs. They can get a pneumonia from it. It's a strep, and if you get a systemic strep, that can kill you or cause you brain damage, even as an adult, if you get it throughout your whole body.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact is that it's something that needs to be taken into consideration.
Absolutely.
And so the doula kept telling her, you don't need to go in, here's this study, here's that study. And her doctor had said he wanted her in 12 hours after rupture because she had the positive GBS. And the doula was like, no. And it was probably like 48 hours after rupture, which by then the baby was infected.
Really?
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. And ended up having to be treated, and it was a very serious situation.
Mm.
So those are kind of the extremes. I'm not going to have a doula because I don't want them to tell me what to do, when we know that the majority of doulas are not going to do that, all the way to somebody who actually had the doula telling them what to do and her believing everything because, well, she's an educated, smart woman, which is true. Doulas are educated and smart women.
Right.
Okay.
So maybe this one blogger read the post of the other one and
possibly
said, oh, well, I don't want that one.
I don't want that to happen to me.
I'm not going to go look and see if there's any that don't do that.
Right, right. So, you know, I want to talk a little bit about this, about what a doula actually does and how I believe she should conduct herself between these two extremes.
Right, right.
Because the other extreme is now doulas are like, oh, I can't tell her anything. So they're not even providing the proper information that the family needs at the time to make an educated decision.
Sounds like a big misconception all the way around.
It is. It's a sticky wicket, as they say.
Yeah. Well, and just to bring up really quick, too, the reason we're talking about this is because it's National Doula Month or Week, I think.
Yeah.
You know, there's an aware bring up
awareness of everything.
Exactly. So that's the reason we're starting to talk about doulas this week. And our goal really is to try and encourage listeners to consider a doula, because there are a lot of doulas who do things what we would consider the right way or
the most
beneficial way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another contrast we see is the difference between the doula who's really there for the family and the doula who's really there to protect her own business.
Yeah.
So you have to be very careful with that. For example, I do not believe that any doula should be working in a group where you don't know who you're getting at your birth.
Yeah.
Because the original goal of a childbirth assistant was we were to be the one person who was consistent for that family from pregnancy all the way through breastfeeding after the baby was born, that they had one person they could rely on who knew them. So if we go to practicing like doctors, that you just get whoever happens to be on call, you've lost the whole point of what a doula is supposed to be.
Yeah. I think there is a lot to be said for having that rapport with one person who is a professional in this realm, because so many couples go into this process not honestly knowing very much at all,
right,
but wanting to have someone that they can trust, that they can lean on, that they can especially in labor and delivery be themselves and just
and knows you and what you want and to help and support you through that,
right, and be able to relax through that process,
right. The other thing that is a misconception, and I think it's more of a misconception with doulas than it is with the people in the public, and that is that advocating for a client is telling them what to do.
Mm.
Okay, so whenever I talk about where's the advocating, why are you not advocating, they say, well, because it's not my job to tell the family what to do. Okay, they are
different things.
They are totally different things.
So, Dr. Pauline, why don't you tell us how you would advocate? And then we'll talk about how that looks different from just telling a couple what to do.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, granted, if you go in as a childbirth assistant, you do know more than the family. You've been at more births. You've seen more things, hopefully. You've read more. You've studied more. You've had to learn things at a level that the average person would not.
Yeah.
You also know what the basic medical system in your area is like.
Mm-hmm.
You know which doctors are good, which doctors are bad. So the very first advocation I think you should do is tell them if they have a bad doctor. And I hear doulas all the time say, well, we can't do that. And I'm like, why not? It's their statistics. All you're doing is saying, here's their statistics. Are you sure you want to use that practice or whatever?
Yes. I need you to be aware that this doctor has a 35% C-section rate.
Right. And you also know the birthing facilities in your area.
Mm-hmm.
Consumer Reports just put out the whole report on cesarean rates.
Ah.
And they've had people submitting pictures of, you know, holding a sign, what's the cesarean rate of this hospital?
Ah.
Now, if a hospital such as one in South Florida that has a 68% C-section rate, is it not my job to inform my client, if you go into that hospital, you are going to get cut. Just know that.
I would want to know that.
Yeah, you have twice the chance of being cut going there than not.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's nothing wrong with that. Then over here I see a sign from a hospital, it's in another state though, that says 13% C-section rate. Now they've achieved less than the World Health Organization C-section rate. So if the family feels led to go to a birthing facility by God, which we talk a lot about in our choices for discerning childbirth materials, which you can actually find on our website, dunamascenter.com, dunamascenter.com. And we talk very much about how to hear from God. So if you're hearing from God that you need to be in a hospital, you want to be in that hospital so that you know that only whatever it is that God is leading you to be there for is done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not just whatever.
Right.
That's the first step, is who are the care providers in your area and what are their statistics, and what are the birth facilities in your area like and what are their statistics?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I lived near a hospital that had a 68% C-section rate, I'm pretty sure I would look for another facility or go stay at home.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we finish this up, just as a closer on it, the area that I was actually practicing in had three different Kaiser System hospitals in it, and it had a university hospital that also had a contract with one of the Kaiser hospitals to do research on obstetrics, and those interns had to do a certain number of cesareans to graduate. So if you're in Kaiser, I would say don't go to that one, okay? Then I knew the stats for all the other hospitals, the county hospital, the private hospitals, you know, all of it. And we just gave that information to our clients.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first, you know, door of advocacy.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Catherine, before we go on to other areas and what to do actually in a birth situation like the GBS, why don't you go ahead and let people know how to get a hold of us or make contact with us?
Yeah, definitely. On Facebook, please search Dunamos Center Ministries. Again, Dunamos is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. On Twitter, go to @YourDunamosLife. Feel free to email us. That is DunamosLife@DunamosCenter.com. As Dr. Pauline mentioned, we've got a website, which again is DunamosCenter.com. There's a common trend here. And then, of course, you can always reach us by the telephone, which is 719-231-7183.
So, Catherine, I also want to say here, because we are Christians, we teach Christ-centered information, and we really want to see Christians get it, if that makes sense. So one of the things we talk about in our discerning childbirth is how do you hear what God would have you to do?
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, people think I'm pretty hard-nosed sometimes, but the fact is I think he starts at home.
Yeah.
And then if you know how to connect to him to hear things, you can gather information even from your birth assistants, your midwives, your community at large for how might God be leading me. But it needs to be centered in that prayer. So if you want to know how to really pray, then you really should get the Choices for a Discerning Childbirth workbook or get into one of our seminars here in Colorado Springs. We are going to be training more teachers at the end of May, so you may ultimately have somebody in your area that can actually teach you how to do this.
Yeah.
So when I say, I do not tell people what to do, I lay a pretty firm foundation, and then I have God tell them what to do. Okay, so that's really my bottom line. But God uses information in people for that.
Right. Yes, if you're in a place where you can't get to our classes, absolutely check out the workbook. It can walk you through every step of the process and help you to connect with Jesus and figure out what the best birth would be for you.
And then you're going to want a doula who knows that as well. Okay. So I really think that one of the best things a Christian doula can do for a couple is to know how to encourage them to pray throughout the entire process.
Right.
To know when to tell the dad, you know what, you have authority over this situation. You need to go connect with the Lord and you need to come back and tell me what God wants us to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I really like, Dr. Pauline, when you talk about I share the information. I share the pros, the cons. I can offer my opinion, but ultimately I've heard you say lots of times I told them to figure it out and tell me what the plan is.
Right. And so part of advocating when I'm actually was at a birth, whether I had a midwife there at a home birth, whether I was at a hospital with a doctor, was when they wanted to change the birth plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll talk in a minute about how the birth plan got set up. But when the care provider wanted to go off the birth plan, I had no problem asking that care provider some questions. So I absolutely do not understand why doulas do not talk to doctors and why doctors think they have the right to tell doulas they have no voice. And to have control over some of the organizations as far as whether they keep their certification or not. I would never certify with an organization that says you have no right to speak up for your client.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Then what are they there for?
Exactly.
To hold their hand and...
Yeah. So let me tell you what speaking up for a client might sound like.
Okay.
Doctor, are you telling me if you do not do this cesarean right now, the mom or baby is going to die? Well, no. Are they going to die in the next 15 minutes? No. Do we have 30 minutes? Yes. Do we have an hour? Yes. Okay, we're going to take that hour.
Yes.
And I'd like you to share with the family absolutely the reasons why you think this is necessary at this time so they have all the information they need to pray and decide what God wants them to do.
Mm.
So some
that sounds very different, I think, than, okay, I'll go tell the client.
that you want to do a cesarean now.
Yes.
Or you better get this baby out in 30 minutes or he's going to cut you or, you know, whatever it is that they're trying to do, pressuring the mom.
Yeah.
So here's a more minor case of it. There was severe cases where, yes, no, I have to take this mom right this minute. I was the first one to step out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, if a doctor can look me in the eye and say, I'm going to lose this baby, I'm the first one out of the way.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors knew that in the area, that most of us were never going to interfere if they could tell us, I have to do this right this second.
Yeah.
That it was going to happen.
Definitely.
Okay. But things would come up like one doctor telling a mom, you've been in labor for 24 hours and a woman just can't really labor for more than that, so I'm going to break your water. Okay.
And Dr. Pauline, who has had labors over 30 hours, responded with,
excuse me, doctor. I had a 34-hour labor with my first baby, and it was a natural birth. And I know for a fact that a woman can labor for more than 24 hours. I said, so I don't think it's fair for you to be pressuring them with that.
Right.
And he goes, fine, they can do whatever they want. Now, and he wasn't really happy with me. But I did at that point go through, everybody left, we slowed the thing down. I spent about 10 minutes talking to the family. Here's the pros and cons of what he wants to do. This is why he wants to break your water. This is what it might do for you. This is what might be bad about it.
Sure.
Or what might go wrong with it. And after about 10 minutes, I said, now you two have to decide what you're going to do. Do you have any other questions? Do you feel like you have all the information that you need?
Sure.
And they said, yes. And I said, I'm going to wait outside until you two decide together what your next course of action is.
Mm-hmm.
So I stepped out and the nurse said, so what are they going to do? And I said, well, I don't know yet. All I did was give them information so they could make their own decision. And if you had seen the look on her face, you would know that she thought I was telling them what to do. And that she was shocked that I had not told them what to do and that I, too, was waiting for them.
Right.
Well, they came out and decided to have the water broken.
That's their
decision. That was their decision at that point, and the baby came very quick. So it worked very well for them. But I just think the slowing it down, the mom relaxed even.
Yeah.
She felt in control. She felt like this is my decision. This is the right thing for me to do, not that she was pressured by everybody.
Right, and I think sometimes a laboring mom just needs to relax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have no way of knowing of whether it was actually the water breaking or not, or if it was just her relaxing.
Right.
We don't know. It doesn't matter.
But
the fact that you were able to slow it down
so
and give them a little bit of time.
And, Catherine, I always say that an advocate at a birth, the main job is to slow the freight train down.
Yeah.
Slow it down so the family doesn't feel like they got ran over by it.
Mm.
Whatever their decision is
mm-hmm.
at the end of all of my information. I had couples that I felt really were not making a good decision, but it was their decision. I'd given them all the pros and cons. I was there to support them one way or the other, and I was not going to walk out on them if they didn't do it the way I thought they should do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's another point, too, that, okay, doulas, can you stand by a couple even if they're doing something that you disagree with?
Right. And, you know, every once in a while somebody would say to me, what would you do? And, you know, my answer really was, it doesn't really matter what I would do. This is your birth and your baby.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I only once had a couple say, we understand that and we're going to make our own decision, but we really want to know what you would do if you were in this situation.
Sure.
And I told them.
Yeah.
And I said, now go do what's best for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And they prayed, and sometimes that's it, Catherine. It's just a doula, a Christian doula in particular, needs to provide that safe place for the couple to connect with Jesus so they know where to go next.
Exactly. Connect with Jesus and connect with each other.
Yes.
So they stay. That's another thing that we teach in our classes is those couples, we want to encourage them to stay connected as a husband and wife,
right.
as a couple.
Right.
With Jesus to walk through this process so that they really feel like they're stepping into the next phase of life still connected.
Right.
You know, they've been connected married, now they need to stay connected as parents.
Right, and through the birth.
Mm-hmm.
And Catherine, you and I have dealt with couples where they've talked to us, and they had a very difficult time with the birth, and the doulas actually ended up separating the husband and wife. And when I've asked them, so when did the doula tell you, Dad, to go in and pray for your wife? and hear from Jesus and let them know what you're doing.
Right.
And the husbands will say, well, never. Okay,
that's a sad situation.
That is a sad situation to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, you can read a list of other things doulas do. We make food. We do the cool compresses or the hot compresses, depending on what part of the body needs what.
Mm-hmm.
We do encourage and guide dads on how to be the best support that they can be.
And you provide them or make sure that they're eating and drinking as well.
As well. And if the dad is not real comfortable, that's okay. The doula can do more of caring for the wife. And so that all is decided ahead of time in the birth plan. How strongly people wanted me to do certain things.
Yeah.
So this is really important for doulas again. When you're doing your pre-birth interviews, I would ask things like, how important is it for you to avoid having medication? And if the mom said, well, it's really not that important, then I'd say, do I have permission from you to really work with you if you start asking for medication to try to get you past that time? And they would either say yes or no. Like, if I ask for it, I want it. So I'm like, fine, whatever. If they say, no, yeah, go ahead and try to talk me out of it, but really I'm not going to be, you know, like massively destroyed or anything if I have it,
mm-hmm.
then I'm not going to fight as hard. I'm just going to say, here's what some things we can do. Look at me, talk to me. And if a mom would listen and follow me, I could almost always talk them through the labor. It was usually when they went so far into themselves they couldn't connect with what was happening that we would lose them
mm-hmm.
on the labor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if the mom said it is like one of the most important things in my life, then I was going to fight tooth and nail to get her through that labor without drugs.
Sure.
Because that's what she wanted. So when I say I'm advocating at a birth, it was almost always based on those prenatal interviews. Like, how strongly did they want me to fight? What did the dad want me to do? I always ask the dad first. How do you see my role? Because if I ask the mom, he'd just say, oh, yeah, whatever she wants is fine. But the dads need to be listened to. They need to be respected. Some wanted me to just sit in the corner and tell them how to do it. And some wanted me to do everything and just involve them as much as they were able.
But that's where what I hear you saying is that the importance of it was discovered and decided on before labor.
Yes, because just because a woman changes her mind in labor, it doesn't mean she changed her mind. Okay, so once she's not in labor anymore, she's gonna feel badly about it if she really didn't want the drugs.
Mm-hmm,
and she's
mm-hmm.
not going to know how to integrate that. And if you don't advocate for her, even almost like with herself, you know, in those moments, you're going to end up having contributed to that trauma or upset or disappointment. But if the mom knows that you fought for her and something just went awry with the baby or whatever, she's going to at least know that absolutely everything was done beforehand that was viable to do.
Right.
And that's what's really important at these births.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, for them to be able to know that there was somebody that had their back.
Yeah.
You know, that was supporting them.
Yes.
And I think that's what doulas are wanting to do. I think maybe
there's a large number of them that do.
Yeah.
I think a higher percentage. And many of the doulas are traumatized because they're being kicked out of rooms. They're being told not to speak up. They're not even being allowed to do the very thing that they're there to do.
Yeah.
And they're not being allowed by their certifying organizations. They're not being allowed by the birth facilities. They're even not being allowed by the parents in some instances. And then I even wonder, why did the parents hire someone to be there?
Yeah.
And then I'm back to this woman of, okay, if that's what you believe about doulas, then you're probably better off not hiring one.
So
anyway, the takeaway is do interview your doulas, do find out how they feel about dad's roles at the birth and how much they will speak up for you, as well as do all the other touchy-feely things that doulas do.
Definitely. So important.
Yes. And I just want to remind our listeners that Dunamaw Center Ministries is donation supported. So please go to our website, dunamawcenter.com, and click the donation button, and you can help us keep the show coming and doing everything that we do here at the center.
Absolutely.
So I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And we're looking forward to talking to you again.